Who? What? Where? When? Why? Who, what, where, when, why? American Truth Finders with Neil Douglas. We've figured it out. Join us on American Truth Finders. We figured it out.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to American Truth Finders. I am Neil Douglas, and I'm your host for the show. And guess what? We got a great show lined up for you tonight, and we have a great guest. His name is Paul Sutliff. He's an author of Civilization Jihad and the Myth of Moderate Islam and Jihad Phase 2, Infiltrate American Colleges. Now, this is a call-in show, so we want you to feel free to call in and ask Paul any questions you might have. And as I've told you before, remember, there is never a dumb question. Call your friends, tell them to tune in at AmericanTruthFinders.com or BBSRadio.com. Our phone number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Before I bring Paul on, I'm going to say this to you. Some of you may get upset with what this topic is going to be about tonight and the questions I might ask Paul and what he may be telling you. But I'm going to tell you, you want to pay attention. You want to listen close. And let me tell you, it is very serious in my mind. Okay? Paul, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing pretty good tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. Paul, I appreciate it because I did catch you a kind of a short notice, and you were more than willing to share your story. And I have to say that you sent something that said that you have posted this and said that this is your most daring piece you've ever put into a blog. And
yes.
And I'm going to ask you some questions. I've already told our audience on Facebook, Paul, that we're going to name names.
Oh, that's what I intend to do.
And we're going to expose what is going on in Washington. What in the heck is going on? And buddy, I tell you what, I hope we can get some callers tonight. But in the meantime, if we don't, I know you've got plenty to say. So I tell you what, Paul, I'm going to start by just letting you give a little background about yourself, would you?
I'm basically a school teacher. I have a bachelor's of arts in religion and philosophy. I studied to be a pastor when I was younger, and then I decided, well, every job I've had, I'm teaching, because the pastor job didn't pay anything. And I decided to go get my master's in education and become a teacher. I did that at Nazareth College. Well, Nazareth College, I learned a little later on, took $500,000 from a group called the International Institute of Islamic Thought, which is basically the Muslim Brotherhood. And I wrote to the president saying, you know, if I can discover this, I'm just a research writer on the side, if I can discover this, why can't you? You're supposed to be academia. You're supposed to be able to find these things. And I never got a response. So I decided to post my letter to the president of the college on an alumni site, and I got blacklisted. Pissing off a research writer is the wrong thing to do. So
yeah,
I did a ton more research. And after about 9 months of research, I tried to do presentations, and I talked to people. And, you know, it came down to this. Because it's academia, they want everything in a 5-minute soundbite. So I had originally put everything together. It was like 20 minutes long, and I called somebody from the military and asked him if he would look at what I have to say. And he said, one of the heads of the veterans associations in this area, I said, what do you think? He says, I agree with everything you have, but you have to put it in 5 minutes because they don't want to listen to anything more. So I wrote my first book. It's extremely small, but what I would call power-packed. For the people who really don't know anything, that really want to know something regarding, you know, the infiltration of colleges. Then I also put together, if you can, you can type my name, Paul Sutliff, Sutliff with two S on the end, into YouTube, and you'll see some of the videos I've done on YouTube, and you'll see why I mean by a power pack. And one of them is 10 reasons why all colleges should stop all relations with the International Institute of Islamic Thought. They call themselves Triple IT, IIIT. It's up to you, though, to verify what I say. It's up to the listener. Go check out what I say, because if you don't believe me, please, please go check for yourself. I'd rather have you do that than say, you know, than just come out and foolishly think I'm telling you a lie and deny it. You'll find out for yourself. I'm going to show you easy ways to check everything.
Well, Paul, you have a blog spot also, don't you, that people can go to and find out some of your information. And that book that you're talking about, your first book, that is available on Amazon right now, isn't it?
Yeah, both of them are available on Amazon.com. And you can also go to paulsutliff.blogspot.com to read the most recent article that I wrote. It's called The Centaurs and Infiltrators. I do name names. I do name Hillary because she is Miss Centaur Tool Infiltration. You know, can't deny that because of whom Abedin is, just one of those big things. But she's also been responsible for funds going towards Hamas that should never have made it. And issues like that. And that's part of, I mean, that's part of public record.
Okay, so and we are going to talk about that, Paul, this is extremely important because of Hillary's running for the president and being connected with this lady. And again, we'll mention her name. And do me just a little favor, Paul, if you would, so that my audience can make sure they get everything you're saying. Slow down just a little bit, because you're okay. Like me. I'll get to rolling, and boy, when I get on a roll, look out. But I want people to hear the names and what they're doing. This is not mainstream media, folks. This is for real. And you know, are we afraid? No. It has to be exposed. Okay, Paul, I'm going to start and ask you. You come out with little statements that is the hen safe? You know, when the fox guards are in the hen house. That's part one of four. And then you go on to explain a little bit about that. Would you start with that for me?
Well, it's pretty simple. When you have people who are from a Muslim Brotherhood inside your inside an organization, they are not working for you. They are working for somebody else. And their goal was stated in 1991. And if we don't start there, understanding who the Muslim Brotherhood are, we're not stupid like our president currently thinks we are. I don't believe the Muslim Brotherhood are nice, hunky-dory, nonviolent people, as he has stated on the on his response to the "Please Declare the Muslim Brotherhood a Terrorist Group" petition, which received over 300,000 votes. He responded a year later. Let me just pull that up. He responded a year later and said, well, they're nonviolent. If you read my book, you will find a whole chapter called the Violent History of a Moderate Group, a.k.a. the Muslim Brotherhood. And I outline exactly what they do believe in, exactly every little, it'll be a very detailed structure of the violent history, the assassinations that I've done. I learned so much doing the research for this. And then apparently my book has also taught some people that I consider experts. So, I mean, it's just a lot of information on that. But let me read you where we really need to start. And I got to start out by crediting one policeman. There was a young policeman who was watching, doing his job, just observing the community. And he saw a person get out of the car in a full burqa and take pictures of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge support structure and then get back into the car. He did a traffic stop and, you know, pulled him over. Of course, the woman could not drive because she was Muslim. She had to go get in the car with her husband so he could drive. But they pulled the guy over, and El Brace was the guy's name, Ismael El Brace. And he handed his ID to the officer, and they a flag comes up and says, hey, he's wanted by the FBI for questioning. But that was enough for them to get a warrant for his house. So they went and they searched his house. Nothing unusual until they got to the secret basement. There was a dugout basement underneath the normal basement. And in there was 90 banker's boxes of documents from the North American Muslim Brotherhood. One of them was called the Explanatory Memorandum. Now, this was discovered in 2003. And we didn't hear anything about this. 2004 was discovered. And we didn't hear anything about this until 2007 when it was used in the Holy Land Foundation trial. Now, I just want to read you the one paragraph from that.
Okay.
It says, 4, understanding the role of the Muslim Brotherhood in North America. The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Quran must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands in the hands of the believers. So that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Without this level of understanding, we are not up to this challenge and have not prepared ourselves for jihad yet. It is a Muslim's destiny to perform jihad and work wherever he is. And wherever he lands until the final hour comes. And there is no escape from that destiny except for those who choose to slack. But would the slackers and the mujahideen be equal? Jihad is the word for holy war. And this is from their document that was translated into English. If we don't start here with this basic understanding that our federal government has access to, we're in trouble. Because not looking at the people who are connected to the Muslim Brotherhood that are currently in office, that makes us guilty of taking no action to protect America.
Paul, but the problem is the average American has no clue who is connected in the White House or the government, federal government, that is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. The jihad, or what any other name you want to call them. So, this is why I guess what I'm saying to you is you did some research, and I'm amazed at how you came up with it.
Well, I don't think it's that hard because there are some wonderful people who this is their livelihood type thing. There's Steve Emerson, which I'm going to recommend anybody get a chance. I'll go to investigativeproject.org. He does an incredible job of research on this topic. There is a bunch of others who also do similar type research. But Steve Emerson and some other wonderful people out there, a lot of them work with either there or the Center for Security Policy. There's some wonderful people doing a lot of this work. My research is basically compiling public knowledge. And I don't have any access to anything secretive or anything. My problem is this is all public knowledge, and our media will not let the American people hear it.
That's my point.
They don't want you to know it. And this is where I get scared.
Okay.
When I wrote my first piece, like you're saying, what happens when the fox guards the hen house, I said there's 10 things we should see. As American citizens, an average American citizen should be able to see 10 things if we've really been infiltrated. Now, understanding the Muslim Brotherhood is basically a terrorist group. A couple years ago, they were running Egypt. This is important to understand. They did not only run Egypt, they've been running other countries through the background. Every country our president decided to go and back up was currently hunting the Muslim Brotherhood members, executing them on site in some cases. But our president went to defend them, and it's one of the reasons we went into Libya. And it's one of the reasons we went to Syria. And that's why we were in those two countries. You're going to see if we go in any other countries, this probably has to do with them currently hunting the Muslim Brotherhood members. I'm just going to list off a few of the items I listed for what an average American should see.
Okay.
And this is basically... I said, number one, if we're watching for Muslim Brotherhood infiltration in our government, you expect to see an inordinate reflection of the population in high government roles. For example, if the U.S. population of Muslims is 3%, you would not expect to find 25% of high governmental positions are filled by Muslims. One of those people that I did name is Asma Mirza. Asma Mirza is the daughter of Yaakov Mirza, who held a high position in ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, who is currently a director for the International Institute of Islamic Thought, another Muslim Brotherhood entity. And now she became a board of director type person, basically the Shura Council, at the age of 26. Do you know any 26-year-olds who have really accomplished something so phenomenal that they should be on a board of directors?
And you also mentioned that she's in the White House now.
Yes, since she's been in that job, she has been working in the White House. She started visiting the White House in 2010, and she was going to meetings, and all of a sudden she started holding meetings there. Now, do you remember the sequestration, and they said they were cutting off the tours to the White House?
Yes, yes.
She was the one giving the Muslim Brotherhood members the tours. Now, I have been writing to tour places in D.C. and seeing if they have started any of the tours back up. I went down there after sequestration, and there still was no tours of the White House. I don't know if anybody started them back up, but if you're a Muslim Brotherhood member, you can get a tour of the White House, or you're part of ISNA, MPAC, CARE. If you're part of, any part of one of those groups, you can go see the White House. But if you're the average American citizen, the answer is no.
Okay, and you're talking about this Asma Mirza.
Yes.
And the fact that she started at 26 years old, mm-hmm. but she also started her issue while she was in college. Am I correct?
Well, she was part of the Muslim Student Association under Awaki. Now that kid, he's one of the terrorists that we know about. Let me just get his exact name. Can never pronounce some of these names correctly.
They're hard to pronounce.
Anwar al-Awlaki. Now, he's a U.S. Yes. citizen, the first one that was put on the kill list.
Yes.
He was due to his activities. Now, that's under President Obama that he was put on a kill list. So this guy, he was making recruitment videos to join al-Qaeda. And this is... Asma Mirza is one of those people who was, under his tutelage, because he was a spiritual advisor to the group that she was in at George Washington.
He was a spiritual advisor, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is important to understand. I mean, here's a guy who was doing this, and we have a person who is working in the White House. Granted, she's working now. She was EEOC. Now she's what's called OMB, Office of Management and Budget. Our president has written a memo saying, if you want to talk about, if you want some help with your budget, go see Asma.
But how many times has she visited the White House? I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but I want people to hear this.
Over 950
she has met with
times. She's listed over 950 times as having on the White House visitor list. Now, what that means is if someone comes and visits you and lists you, then you get listed. How about this? If you come and you do a tour of 20 people, those 20 people might list you for that day as the person they came to see.
You but also mentioned that she is proof. Not, her salary is not listed, and
yes,
that is a violation of federal policy. Is that correct?
It's a violation of federal law. And that is in itself pretty important, because why are they hiding that? What is she making? She's a supervisory person. When she walks into the job at the age of 26, she's got a supervisory role. I'm concerned. What did she really do by the age of 26? I mean, I still do not know of any 26-year-old that have done something so outstanding that, there's some people who are incredible statisticians, incredible analysis type people, but it's hard for me to imagine someone who works in Office of Management and Budget is somebody outstanding and phenomenal that they got to go look for and put in the White House. I'm just kind of mind blown that on that one.
Well, I don't know of anybody, and I'm sure that anybody of our in our audience doesn't know of anybody that age that would be that high level as far as the White House is concerned. I want to give our phone number out again real quick. It's 888-627-6008. If you have any questions at this point, please don't hesitate to call, and we'll get to you to your calls. In the meantime, Paul, I want to ask you. We got to start listing some more names, and I want to start with a CIA director, John Brennan.
I wrote about my primary purpose for writing about John Brennan is John Guandel's questions have never been answered. Now, he proposed these questions when John Brennan was up for a CIA director, and nobody answered his question. Those four PMs asked just a few questions, like, number one, this is the listing of the things that he said, John Guandel, a former FBI agent, he said that John Brennan should not be given the position of DCI for, which is Director of CIA, Central Intelligence. This is a quote from John Guandolo. As the senior advisor to the President of the United States for counterterrorism, John Brennan maintained close relationships with Islamic organizations in America which operate on behalf of terrorist organizations. These include senior Hamas operatives such as Nihad Awad of the Hamas entity, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They have still maintained a good relationship, and that's something you can see through his working on, you know, corrective, lessening discussion on Islamic terrorism. There's almost no talk of Islamic terrorism under our current president and even through the CIA. The second point Guandolo makes is Brennan provided leaders of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood access to senior national security staff and provided input to U.S. counterterrorism strategies. That, to me, is that speaks to treason to me. But these are actually, that particular item is actually public knowledge. Brennan publicly supported the Muslim Brotherhood. He's spoken publicly on numerous occasions at Muslim Brotherhood events in his official government capacity. Again, we know that CARE is Hamas in the United States. We've known that since a trial in the 90s where it was revealed the Islamic Association for Palestine was giving monies directly to Hamas. The people who were, in fact, they were sued. They lost the trial. They had to pay millions of dollars in reparations to the family members who sued them. Family members of the person who was killed in Israel. So we know this. It's public knowledge. It's available to anybody who wants to know this. Yet he still goes and speaks to groups like CARE, ISNA, and stuff like that. And if you do that as a CIA person, or you're already going against what you're supposed to be doing, which is protecting America. You're giving them a stage of legitimacy. And this is entirely wrong when they've declared they're going to have jihad on us.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you there for just a minute. I'm gonna ask a question that hopefully maybe somebody in our audience is thinking and want to call in and want to know why was he approved if this information was made available for Congress to approve him? I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats.
You're asking a good question. At the time that he was approved, I believe we were still a full Democrats in charge of the Senate. So regardless of who was going to be proposed at this time, the Democrats were in control and could have easily said, you know, that they were just going to mass approve. And that's something to think about. None of the questions were raised publicly. I never heard any of them discussed. And I would just be simply happy with them referring to the, you know, how do they answer these? To me, one of the most offensive pieces, being besides him being a public speaker at Muslim Brotherhood events, speaking for ISNA and things like that, is the most offensive thing he's done is he refers to Jerusalem as Al-Quds. Now, you can find there's an actual video of this on YouTube. And it's linked to on my blog. This is very anti-Semitic. It does suggest that Mr. Brennan definitely is Muslim, and that there was a possible conversion that had happened to him. According to Guando, he says that he converted to Islam. Whether he did or did not, I don't know, but for a Christian or a Jewish person or anybody else in the world, you would never refer to Jerusalem as Al-Quds, which is something that is anti-Semitic, and it is something very Islamic. Well, it's highly offensive.
Okay, and I'm going to interject something here right now. I know that there are a lot of people who could be listening right now that are anti-Israel, and because of how they feel that Israel is really dictating to America and running America, in a sense. So, when we refer to that situation, you're not speaking of just being anti-Semitic. You're talking about the seriousness of Mr. Brennan's comments.
We have no qualms with Israel. What we do have qualms with is Islamic terrorists. And if Brennan did convert to Wahhabi Islam, which is what now John Guandola's biggest allegation is, that he converted to Wahhabi Islam, which is exactly what Osama bin Laden was, we have a serious problem. That's the biggest accusation John Guandola makes. Again, none of these accusations were ever addressed that I could find any place by any investigative panel, and they needed to be addressed. They still need to be addressed. I have serious questions regarding this. How could you trust somebody with that kind of connection? How could you trust somebody who's insisting on making connections to a terrorist group that has sworn civilization jihad on the American government, and you go and speak in their organization? I have an issue. it's like,
well, I think the entire America should be concerned about the CIA director John Brennan being connected with the Muslim Brotherhood, or possibly being connected. Let me rephrase that. Because it was never completely answered by Congress or, you know, anybody else. But I want to go on further now. The former advisor to Hillary Clinton, when she was former Secretary of State, is Huma Abedin. Am I saying that right?
That's correct, yep. And her connections are they're direct. She has direct connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. You and I could never get a security clearance. I did my first book, I even discussed, you know, how hard it is to get a security clearance. I mean, there's things that are said about how difficult it is, and you have to list all your relations. Let me just read one of these things here. It says what you have to do. This is right out of my first book, page 16. And it's talking, I'm quoting right from adjudicative guidelines for determining eligibility for access to classified information. It says foreign contacts and interests may be a security concern if the individual has divided loyalties, or foreign financial interests may be manipulated or induced to help a foreign person, group, organization, or government in a way that is not in the U.S. interest, or is vulnerable to pressure or coercion by any foreign interest. With that said, I mean, there is a condition. Number 7 says, under the same guideline, it says conditions that could raise security concern and may be disqualifying include contact with a foreign family member, business or professional associate, friend, or other person who is a citizen or resident of a foreign country if that contact creates a heightened risk of foreign exploitation, inducement, manipulation, pressure, or coercion. Next, it says connections to a foreign person, group, government, or country that create a potential conflict of interest between the individual's obligation to protect sensitive information or technology and the individual's desire to help a foreign person, group, or country by providing that information. When you are connected to the Muslim Brotherhood on a foreign level, your parents have direct relations with the Muslim Brotherhood, we have a problem. You should not be serving in the White House.
Now, do you have any? Because I'm going to ask you. We're going to go on with names, but I want to find out something. Two questions I want to ask you real quick. Is she still connected with Hillary Clinton? Do you know?
I have no evidence that she is still connected. Now, she did start working for her as an intern, so I believe they probably still have a relationship. I'm not sure what it is today. I'm saying watch and see if she'll show up. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay. Now, my second question is, do you have a theory as to why all of these people, and the ones that we're going to continue to list as long as we got time, why all of these people who belong to the Muslim Brotherhood are in the government positions, number one, and what's the end goal?
Well, again, the end goal is the destruction. The end goal is simple. It's the destruction of the American government. And it's not just the American government. It's the destruction of the Canadian government so that the Muslim religion could be made victorious. That's what they have said. So this is the important point. They've already said what their objective is. If we start with understanding that's their objective, we get to understand their purpose for the infiltration, what their end goal is. So even the concept of destroying us by economically, by creating Obamacare, can be seen as, well, they know it's going to destroy us. They know it's a stupid law, but all they care about is whether it's going to destroy us. This is why they talk about destroying us by their hand and by the hand of the believers, which we're referring to the Muslim Brotherhood members. And they believe, I'm just going to say this again, Muslim Brotherhood believes they speak for all Islam. They have not yet submitted to the quote new caliph over in the Islamic State. So again, these people still believe they speak for all of Islam. So that's another important concept.
Now, I'm going to ask a quick question for you, real quick. Now, when we are referring to Muslim Brotherhood and Muslim in general, okay, I'm talking about even American citizens who are Muslim, are you of the opinion that all Muslims are of an evil mind?
I will say that all Muslims are. In America, we have, it's just like in Catholicism, because Catholics don't, in America, most Catholics don't know what the Catholic Church really teaches, because we have a lot of freedoms here. And number one, we allow people to read the Bible. And we don't have any restrictions on that. People can read anything. We're not going to, shut you up from reading. We're not going to stop you from reading. So in that case, there's a lot of freedom. Most Muslims have never read the Quran fully. They don't understand what's in it. And it's a very illogical book. I mean, here's how simple it is to call it illogical. The book is written in the order of what was said longest is said first. So if that sounds logical to you, maybe you could call the Quran a logical book and Islam a logical entity, but it really is not. Here is the other thing, though, that goes with all of Islam in America. You cannot trust a Muslim to tell you the truth about what they really believe because they have a doctrine called taqiyya. Now, taqiyya has to do with lying to protect their faith. I have been able to get a local Islamic professor to lie publicly, just practicing what I know about how to get them to lie. And this is what I suggest for everybody. Please do this. Please ask this one simple question. Make sure you get it on film. And then I would say send it to me. Send it to James O'Keefe. He would publicize it. Send it to any place. And then send it to that professor's college. Here's what you got to ask. What does Islam mean? The immediate response of Dr. Shafiq, professor of Islam at Nazareth College of Rochester, was peace. My immediate response was, Dr. Shafiq, stop lying to everybody. Tell everybody what it means in Arabic.
he's pausing a bit. Submission does not sound like peace to me. Does that mean you have to, that I have to submit or you kill me? So, what does that mean? Like, even if you detect them in that simple lie, you can prove that they are not telling the truth to the students that they do teach.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Let's go with the the former Department the DHS Assistant Secretary. Is it Arif Alkhan? Am I pronouncing that right? The Department of Homeland Security. Excuse me.
The preferred person who's currently there.
Arif Alkhan, I believe it's how it's pronounced. He's a former DHS Assistant Secretary.
We're talking about he's in my book. Hold on just a second. I've got this problem with the Muslim names. I can't keep up with them all.
I know. They're hard to pronounce, too.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We have Hillary Clinton. We have...
Well, while you're looking then we're going to go on to the...
Oh, Arif Alkhan. Okay. Former DHS Assistant Secretary. Yes. You know, he was one of the six named by the Rose L. Yosef paper that was published in 2012. That was in Egypt. They named six people who were working for our current president as Muslim Brotherhood members. Now, this was when they were the paper and everybody, the people were rebelling against the Muslim Brotherhood. They published this very well, but of course, our papers over here, working in cahoots with our current president, have hidden it from America. You can go get an English copy from this at theinvestigativeproject.org, and I suggest everybody read it. It's not very deep, but you can actually then look these people up and find out your own research on it. I think it's shocking. Here we have a guy who, when I looked him up, I mean, I'll be honest, I write this about him. He does sound like a person who's a very hard worker and who deserves the rewards that he gets. But if he has the connections to the Muslim Brotherhood, I'm concerned. This man does seem like the hard worker. He has this is one of the few cases out of all of them that I have found one person who looks like he's earned everything he's done.
Okay, so are you saying you're not positive he's part of the Muslim Brotherhood?
I'm saying the only thing I can prove with him is he's a hard worker. But with him being named, we have to be concerned. The 2012 article by Rose Al-Yusuf, they had a claim that they had documentation to prove that these people were members.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on then to Mohammed El-Barri.
Yeah,
Department of Advisory Council member.
Appointed by President Obama, who was openly a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, openly. And yet,
Department of Homeland Security, you're talking about.
Yes, he was appointed and was openly a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He was also put on a committee, which he bragged about being on, to determine if the Muslim Brotherhood should be called a terrorist group. Well, let's think about the logic in that. Or what do we call that? Oh, conflict of interest. Oh, how did they put him on that panel? Somebody explain that one to me, and then explain how they... Now you know why they are considered nonviolent.
Well, so many of the people that we're bringing up right now and their positions... is what concerns me, and I'm hoping that it's concerning my audience, because if it isn't,
the next one's even worse. Rashad Hussein.
Are you talking about Rashad Hussein?
Yeah, He's now in charge of he's in charge of communications regarding extremist groups. Wait a minute. So you put a person who is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood in charge of connections regarding terrorists. So a terrorist connection, possibly. So what do you want him to really do? Say nothing? I have real concerns there. This is beyond belief.
Okay, I want to know. I want to know if any of my audience has any concerns. Our number is 888-627-6008. I'm not done asking about names, but I want to know if you are concerned. We've only got about 15, maybe 20 minutes left in this show, and if you have any concerns or questions, please give us a call. 888-627-6008. Don't be afraid to call. All right, Rashad Hussein. As you said, special envoy to the OIC. Let's move on to the senior advisor at the U.S. Agency for International Development for the Middle East and Asia Bureaus, Alfia Siad. Saeed, excuse me.
Did I write that name someplace? I'm sorry. I have that name on someplace.
Yeah, it's right under Rashad Hussein. It's right under. It's right under. Did you find him?
There are so many people. This is what it comes down to. There are so many of these people here that when I talk about, my first point that I make is an inordinate amount of people who are Muslim in the White House.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump. We could go to the lawyer for Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice, Lima Bashar. We're not going to go there. I'm going to go to the next one, which is Aman Mohammed Magid.
Okay, Mohammed Magid. Yeah.
Yes.
He is a past president of ISNA. Now he's visiting the White House on a regular. He's been visiting the White House. And that's what I'm looking at. They're not necessarily employees, but they're visiting the White House. Now, this is an instance where past president of a Muslim Brotherhood entity has made, when I wrote this book, has visited five times. And you can see if whether he's visited with the president or not, but that's a major concern. If you don't believe me, go to whitehouse.gov. Look for where they have the visitor, the White House visitor records. You can just type it in. I mean, it's that simple. And you can find this information. All I did was type in their names. And I went to MPAC, and I started typing in the board of director names from MPAC, the president's name, everybody. And that in particular, MPAC has the biggest current connection that I can find at the White House. It's not ISNA as a big group, unless you count Asma Mirza. It is MPAC. They are having direct meetings with our president, and on various different levels.
Now, do you feel that Iman Mohammed Magid, or however it's pronounced, that he is an Obama advisor?
He's visited five times, so I don't know if that qualifies him as an advisor. But, I mean, again, showing up at the White House for an event and a known member of the Muslim Brotherhood, it's something to think about. We would never have allowed, when we were fighting communism, we would never have allowed a communist to visit the White House unless they were under guard. I think we allowed Boris Yeltsin to visit, but it was a very limited visit. You would not allow them to just walk into the White House, hunky-dory type thing, walk around. No. And you make sure you have extra guards around when that kind of thing is going on. But there are so many members of the Muslim Brotherhood visiting. That's what I'm getting at here. Salam al-Mariati. He's the founder of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, MPAC. He's the current executive director. Now, he's visited... And the list goes on for MPAC is so extensive that it should shock anybody. When these people are meeting directly with the president, whether in large groups or in small groups, we have to be concerned. On these groups, when our president has Muslim festivals at the White House, he's not just inviting, you know, your average imam from your local city or town. He's not doing that. He's inviting members of the Muslim Brotherhood to come in to the White House.
Okay, and he does mention quite a bit about their history, even as much as music, that as far as I'm talking about President Obama. Before I get into that, or right now, that's the least important that I'm concerned about. I'm going to ask you a question, because most everybody that I know of that's listening right now has questioned or said that they question President Obama's connection as a Muslim or with Islamic connections. I don't know of anybody out there, unless they are in love with Obama and think that he's the greatest thing since mom's apple pie, that doesn't think that there's something going on in the White House. My question to you is, in your opinion, why is our Congress sitting back doing nothing to protect this country from being taken over and destroyed by this kind of hatred, and this kind of thing? I mean, do you have any kind of thought about why Congress?
I just have an opinion with no proof. When Judge Roberts gave his decision, that gave me the answer to what's going on.
You're talking about the healthcare decision.
Yes. That told me what is really going on. Our president is using NSA spying for the purpose of blackmail. There is no reason, even his response to the his opinion is illegal. To say that, to call the Obamacare a tax when the bill did not start in the House is an illegal decision. Because he calls it a tax, and according to the law, taxes have to start in the House. This bill started in the Senate. That little statement right there, I believe was Robert's way of saying, I have been blackmailed. I have been forced. My hand is forced. Maybe they showed him a picture of his wife or kids or something with a target on them. I don't know. But there is no reason for Judge Roberts to have responded in that way. We now have Trey Gowdy not following through.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Congress is under the same pressure?
I wouldn't be surprised. It's the only thing that makes sense.
Well, okay. Then let me ask you this. Because, you know, obviously our audience is not going to call in, which is maybe because they're so dumbfounded about what we're talking about. But let me ask you this question: what's the possibilities of Barack Obama calling? You know, like we've got this Jade, you know, Jade Helm 15, Jade Helm 15 coming up, where they're gonna take over so many stations. That is gonna be my show in 2 weeks, by the way, folks. We're gonna be talking about Jade Helm 15. But what's to say that he doesn't call martial law and call off the next president's election, and
there's
he stays in office,
and we
are sunk?
There's a lot of debate on whether he's going to try and do that, and that would if he's going to try and do that, that would explain why he has put in so many changes to the martial law plan. Everything now falls under the Secretary of War, whereas previously it did not. It's very, very concerning. When I say Secretary of War, I mean Secretary of Defense. These are even the control of the water is under Secretary of Defense. We used to have a Secretary of Interior that what everything would fall under. They've taken everything that would go under that person and put it under the Secretary of Defense. These are very, very big concerns. I am going to be make the bold, brash statement that the American people would never put up with that. He could do what he wants, and this would be the case if this ever happened. It would be the first time in America where the veterans of America would rise up and they would put down this president. And I do credit the veterans because the veterans have sacrificed already, and they it's just the same thing. When they went up and they removed the gates our president had put around their memorials to keep them from going to their memorials, and they threw them at the White House, he sent people out to protect himself because he was scared they were going to take him. You know what? He could be scared. He was really scared. He sent the police out to guard himself. Will this happen? I think the day he decides he wants to stay in office is the day the veterans do pick up their arms.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we already know he is marshalizing local, your county, city, and state police in certain states as a trial basis, making them federal police officers. We know that's already in place.
He's connecting them.
You know, I mean, so this is not a made up story. This is happening.
With Jade Helm up next,
with pretend quote unquote martial law, and also let's talk about just a real brief moment here about FEMA and FEMA camps, along with. Now, this has been going on not just with Obama. We know that. But it's been getting much more serious, much more deep in depth as far as what's going on in our country right now. I mean, our country right now has gone downhill the fastest in history since he has been in office. And I don't understand how the American people who are supposed to be the government have not demanded that our representatives, our congressmen, senators, to remove this man for treason.
I'm saying the same thing.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I'm yelling, but I'm angry. I'm angry. And I have to tell you, Paul, I'm sorry. We haven't covered nearly what I'd love to have covered on this show tonight. I want to say that we did list some names. I'm very concerned about CIA Director John Brennan. I'm concerned about Huma Abedin, the former advisor to Hillary Clinton, because I don't trust that she might not be. I mean, even though there's no proof of Hillary's connection to the Muslim Brotherhood, I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't put her to work and the connections be something as to. I mean. Look at what happened to with all her email messages, her server, her computer, everything's gone. You know,
yeah.
Who in there? You know, I mean, who? This is our federal government. These are the people that we're supposed to be entrusting. And this has nothing to do with.
Explain why she's not arrested, and if you can explain why she's not arrested, I would love to hear that.
Because I want to know why Obama hasn't.
Destruction of federal documents requires your arrest.
I want to know why Obama hasn't been arrested for being having the connections he's got in the White House.
Yeah,
he has sold America out, in my opinion. You know, am I on his list or there on the list of the watch list? Probably. Do I care? No. Because I'm going to tell you, America is going down the hill, going down the tubes, and in my And now, you know, whether anybody wants to believe this or care about what I believe, I don't mean to take your time away from you right this moment, but in my opinion, this is almost biblical prophecy at this point. If it isn't already. Now, Paul, we've only got a few minutes left. They'll notify me when I'm down to just a few minutes or a few seconds left. What is your next move as far as your writing? I mean,
I'm going to name more people in my next article.
That's what I was wanting to hear.
I'm going to name more people. I'm going to talk about the six. I'm going to spend time talking about the six people. And my 10th article that I had, I'm going to talk about my 10th article of discussing infiltration. And that was mainly, let's go back to that second. I don't pull it out. I can't give you the exact piece. I want to go back to that because if we don't, again, as I said, there's 10 things that an average American should be able to see. You don't have to be CIA. You don't have to be FBI. You can just use logic. I said you should see replacements that will be created for accessing information not normally available to the average person when positions become available. We know that the president had put people recommended by ISMA and MPAC, other Muslim Brotherhood entities, into positions in the White House and across the United States government. We know that
I got to stop you there, Paul, because we're down to about 30 seconds or thereabouts. Your blog can be found on my website, americantruthfinders.com. Go to it, folks. Follow him. Paul, I want to thank you so much for being my guest tonight, and especially at such short notice. And I also want to say in 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back on the air, God willing. And we're going to be talking about Jade Helm 15. And if we have a guest, fine. If we don't have a guest, we will take callers and we'll do something because this is a serious situation also. Paul, again, thank you so much. And maybe we can do this again, all right?
Definitely. You have a wonderful week. God bless.
Thanks. Thanks. You do the same. And thanks for being a part of my show, Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. You can find me on Facebook. You know that. Give me your comments of tonight's show. I would appreciate it. Or go to American Truth Finders. Give me some comments. In the meantime, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Neil Douglas. This is American Truth Finders, and I hope that you're finding out things you'll never hear on mainstream media. And for now, good night, everyone.